I draw a line down the middle of your head so it looks like a butt.
Welcome to Stupid Not Stupid. I'm Matt, here with my man Jason, the co-host who always leads the league in personal fouls, even when he's on injured reserve.
Physically unable to play.
Yeah. Do we decide, I know we talked about this before, is PUP physically unable to play or physically unable to perform?
I've always heard play, but I think perform is probably the correct one.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that's the one I thought then.
It's also, so right. The other definition I've heard is pathetic use of potential.
I don't want to talk about Antonio Brown right now because he cost me my fantasy championship, so I don't want to, he's definitely PUP if that's the definition. Jason, welcome back to the studio, such as it is.
Yes.
From our holiday hiatus.
Yeah, we're back in a closet.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Well, the only thing stupider than this studio is the inaccuracies on the episodes that were recorded over the holidays. So that means it's time for
Matt and Jason are stupid.
You suck.
As always, this is the portion of the show where we have to go back and correct something that we said that was stupid in a previous episode. It seems to happen every time. Doesn't seem to be
basically,
that difficult.
Yeah, we basically never get through one without some kind of mistake.
Yeah. Well, I have two. One was pointed out to me and one I guess I caught myself the other day. The first is a listener reached out to correct me in our Pre-Human Civilization episode. Apparently, I called and I told you I've never watched Doctor Who.
Right.
Which is the name of the show, I guess. So I assumed the protagonist of Doctor Who is Doctor Who.
No, it's the Doctor.
It's the Doctor.
Yes.
This person was very upset. So I just wanted to correct the record, but also defend myself by stating that I've literally never watched a single episode of the show. And then I think in that same episode, I crapped on Catoctin Creek Distillery a little bit because I said we gave them a shout out on Twitter and they didn't respond. I was actually wrong. I was kind of wrong. They liked our tweet to them, but didn't respond. So sorry about that. If Catoctin Creek, if any of you ended up subscribing off that tag, I do apologize for crapping all over your distillery, which produces excellent spirits, which we have sampled as recently as this evening.
Yes. Yeah. We are in fact big fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, you don't have any worse stupids, or I guess we're being so responsible and proficient in pre-recording episodes. You're not really getting to hear them.
No, exactly. You're hearing them because you edit them. I don't hear them at all until they come out.
Well, I like the power that I've been handed. Now I get to basically have a worse stupid monopoly. I'm feeling
literally. So I think our Asteroid episode comes out tomorrow morning. I haven't heard it since we recorded it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I like this. The more professional we get about this, the more power I have. So I think we're going to continue the upward trend towards this being our full-time jobs. Well, since we corrected the record on Catoctin and we were talking about booze, what are you drinking, Jason?
So for this episode, I think we had I can't remember what the episode was, but I did made a similar drink choice. This is such an American episode and just really like heartfelt blue collar American episode that I went with Budweiser.
I think it was Land Invasion of the United States.
I think that's right.
Is that when you did Budweiser?
Yeah. Okay. And then of course, I'm still working on that fantastic bottle of Catoctin Creek Ragnarok. That's really, I wish that it weren't such a limited batch because I would buy more of this.
This is crazy. Yeah, I was going to try to give it a bump and tell people to go find it, but you were telling me before we started recording, they only made 100 bottles of Ragnarok.
It was some very small number.
That's nuts.
Yeah, because it's delicious.
There's such a limited number that the caps, or I guess the corks on each bottle, are individualized. Like they have little sculptures on top, and there's no two that are the same.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool. So I was very happy that I got a bottle for the holidays from our super fan Antonio.
Well, that's wild. Well, I have a Samuel Adams Winter Lager, and basically this one got into the starting lineup like third string walk-on QB. It was all that was left in the back of the fridge after everyone else had been knocked out of the game. So this is your moment to shine, man. All the cameras are on you.
Drafted in the 18th round.
That's right. Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant coming up strong. Well, with that pun, Jason, I guess we'll roll out our stupid, not stupid question for this week. And this is going to be, I guess we've kind of done episodes similar to this before where we just go through different scenarios related to a topic and just call them each stupid or not stupid as we go.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do this week is go through different random rule changes that we could make to different sports in order to make those sports less stupid. Or at least, I guess you could substitute less stupid for up the ratings. So right. More people would definitely watch.
Yes.
If we made these rule changes.
Yeah. And the funny thing for me is we came up with this topic because we've basically been making comments about sports as we've watched them over years. About, man, this game would be a lot more interesting if.
Yep.
And that's, yeah. So this is going to be a fun one, I think.
So the sports that I picked were football, basketball, soccer, and baseball. But Jason, I know there are just some sports out there that are kind of like the ugly ducklings of athleticism for you that right. You just want to get away the bashing we want to do on those athletic endeavors before we start.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Are there any you just want to knock out real quick?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like we're definitely looking at this from an American viewpoint. Like I get that, but I know we're going to get questions about, you know, like, what about golf? Well, first of all, golf isn't a sport. It's an activity. It doesn't count as a sport in any way, shape, or form. You know, there's the old Winston Churchill quote about, you know, golf is a good walk ruined. Like, I totally agree with that. Golf, if you want to be a sport, like, have someone defend the hole. Like,
I like this. See, right there, we already have one off the bat. I'm going to say not stupid on that.
Okay. And then other sports like cricket, like, I understand that cricket is like a huge sport, like globally, but I don't understand the rules at all. And it, like any sport that's that British in origin, there can't be any athleticism involved.
Like, is it that it's that big globally, or is it just that it's like the principal sport of India, which makes up like 20% of the world's population?
That may be the case. Yeah, yeah,
it gets more clout than it should really have.
Right. And, you know that I'm a huge, like, motorsports fan. Like, I've been watching Formula One for a quarter of a century.
Also not a sport.
Well.
Just a drive being ruined, as Winston Churchill would say.
I would argue that it is very much a sport, but we're definitely not going to talk about it in the context of this particular episode. So,
all right. Well, I agree with all of those. So far, we're on not stupid, or I guess your ideas are not stupid, though sports are stupid.
Exactly.
Consensus. So that's the place we're beginning from. All right. Well, let's go straight into it. And first, we're going to go football, not football.
Right.
Or in countries that have football, gridiron. I don't know if you know this, Jason, but in the Commonwealth countries, they call American football gridiron.
Which makes far more sense to me, because in the sport of American football, the only guy who actually puts his foot on the ball is the least useful player on the team, right?
Makes no sense at all. I guess I should have thought about that earlier, and we could have looked up the etymology of this. But yeah, I literally have no idea why they call it football.
Literally, kickers are the people who are made fun of in football, but they're the only ones who actually kick a ball. Yeah.
Well, speaking of kickers, that brings us to the first stupid rule change that I would propose to the game of American football that I think would make the game more interesting. So I think that we should institute a rule in the National Football League that the kicker on your team can have no more than 3 consonants and 2 vowels in their last name. All right. Have you ever looked up the name of like the leading scorers in the NFL from kicking points, or the leading punters in the NFL in terms of yardage they've covered?
Yeah.
Here are their last names: Vinatieri, Janikowski, Gostakowski, Gardoki, Stravinsky. Like, you should have
Grammatica.
It's crazy. Like, it's almost like you're genetically predisposed to being a NFL caliber place kicker or punter if you have like 7 consonants in your last name. So
that's,
I think we should institute that rule, but I don't want to be unreasonable, so I want to give teams a leeway. And I think we should do it like Wheel of Fortune style. Like, you can buy a vowel if it's like, you know, if you're under your cap space,
right?
Yeah. So if you're willing to like pay a little extra, you can get like a
that's
punter
good.
With like extra letters in his name. I think it would make the game more interesting. That's just me personally, though.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
My big rule change for the NFL was, I think that we should institute hockey rules in that if you commit a penalty, you go to the penalty box. So you have to play
like
with
increasingly less people on the field.
Yeah, I think that would
there's just undefended wide receivers
that's
like
right.
out on the line. Yeah,
it
okay.
would definitely right. change the speed of the game, I think.
The one that actually, when we were joking about, hey, we should do this episode, the first one that popped into my head, I think football would be way more awesome. And we could pilot some of these in like arena football or something, like see how the rules go and,
yeah.
and test them out. And I think this would definitely work in arena football. The last player to touch a ball on the previous play must take the snap on the next play. So imagine you have like a crazy fumble and the center recovers it.
Right.
Like,
right.
What are you going to do? So then, like, the quarterback snaps to the center, and you get to watch, like, a 350-pound, 400-pound NFL lineman try to attempt a pass. Like, I'm really excited about the different combinations that could play out here if you were required to take the snap if you're the last person to touch the ball in the previous play.
That's a good one. So when I was thinking about the idea of the penalty box, I was thinking, well, that's just going to drive scores up really, really high in this game. So how do we straighten that out? How do you find parity in the playing if anyone who commits a penalty ends up off of the field? And what I figured out was if you're ahead of the other team by a certain number of points, then on the next snap, the other team get, like, if you're ahead by 5 points, the other team, or, you know, 7 points, the other team gets a second ball. If you're ahead by 14, they get 3 balls. And so at a certain point, like, all of your offensive linemen are centers. They're snapping to whoever, running backs, quarterbacks, whoever's in the backfield.
But the balls have to be live, though, right? So say one snap goes over one of your filling quarterback's heads, so both teams could score a touchdown
That's the same play.
Right. So you think it's complicated now to explain football rules to, like, your foreign friends or people who don't watch it when you're – imagine doing it with 3 balls flying through the air.
You'd need like 18 referees on the field at any time.
One of the other ones I wanted to get in, and this goes back to a specific, some of our listeners may be familiar with the Fail Mary. As a Green Bay Packers fan, this one's burned into my psyche. But the play, man, it must have been like 5 or 6 years ago now, where Aaron Rodgers throws a game-winning interception, I guess.
Yeah.
So two receivers possess the ball simultaneously, and then the replacement refs come in. This is when the NFL refs were on strike.
Yeah.
One ref singles touchdown. The other ref signals interception. They both look at each other confused and then just end the game. I'm not aware of, like, many other instances where two refs had competing calls,
right.
Especially one that had such a significant consequences as that one. But I think in instances where refs have competing calls, really we should stop the game and have the refs compete.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
The refs
should
arm wrestle to decide.
You bring out the boxing ring and you put gloves on them. Yeah. I'm totally in favor of that.
Did you ever see that ref? Maybe he only did, like, West Coast games or was in, like, the NFC West, and so that's why I was more familier with him. But Ed Hockley, I think that's how
I do remember that
the
name.
The guy who's, like, just ripped. He's like 50 or 60 or something, but he's just, like, cut. Like, he's just cut like a Greek god out there. He's buffer than all the other players. So I just want to see him just, like, throwing elbows, arm wrestling in the center of the ring.
Exactly. Just in the middle of a game, two refs, you know, have competing calls. So we go to the UFC style. But yeah. Just open combat. Yeah, I'm totally in favor of that.
And then I guess drawing that connection back to the football and football, I think we could use a few kind of soccer rules in the NFL. And one of the things that I love about soccer, even though I basically know nothing about it and don't watch it unless I'm playing FIFA, is this concept of relegation.
Right.
We have some perennially terrible NFL teams that are the bottom feeders of the NFL on a yearly basis.
Yeah, looking at you, Detroit. Yeah.
And, you know, I think it would be interesting if the worst performing team, or maybe even teams at the end of each season, were relegated to the Canadian Football League. And then we promote the best teams from the Canadian Football League, and we could get a whole other, like, just flavor of football going in the NFL, a whole new fan base, and really open it up. And I got to tell you, if something happened to my beloved Packers, or if Aaron Rodgers kept disappointing me in the ways that he has, I'm open to adopting a new team. And so I looked up some of these CFL teams, and just off the logos and the names alone, like, I'm down with this relegation idea,
because
I just want to be a fan of these teams. Listen to some of these names, Jason. The Edmonton Elks.
Yeah.
I'm all in on that. The Toronto Argonauts.
Oh,
hell yeah. The Hamilton Tiger Cats. I don't even know where Hamilton is.
Right.
Okay, I like this one. I really like this one, too. The Calgary Stampeders. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Yeah.
Oh, the Montreal Alouettes. Like, I don't even know what an Alouette is, but I want to get a tattoo of it and, like, be a fan. So this idea of relegation, I'm all in on.
No, I totally agree. And I think you would end up adding more and more countries. Like, the NFL, that's a great idea. They keep going over to England and trying to play an NFL game in England. Like, if you had actual English teams, like, if you had English rugby players playing American football, like, that would change the league considerably.
Yeah, except they're going to have an advantage in our new NFL because they're all, like, Smith and Wilson and like, but they're all amazing kickers, right? So they're not going to have to spend their salary cap money buying consonants vowels for their kickers. So they're always going to have great field positions. So yeah, I'm down to take football international.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe there should be a rule change as well. You know, we keep talking about, you know, soccer having to do with American football. You know, maybe it should be like, if you're a catcher, if you're a wide receiver and you miss like 3 passes in a row, you don't get to use your hands anymore in the game.
All right. Yeah, I'm down with that. And then there were, I guess I'm just on a soapbox here, and this might kill the vibe a little bit, but I'm just going to go on my soapbox. There are actually two realistic changes, although I'm going to go out on a limb and say everything we've proposed so far seems reasonable to me. But I definitely think we've been talking about the NFL. I think college football should have a 16-team playoff. I'm sick of watching the same four teams play each other over and over and over again for the championship.
Yeah, I don't really care if Alabama wins another championship. Yeah, it doesn't make
any
difference.
I think they just won the other night. Right, I mean, yeah, I didn't even pay attention because I don't care anymore. And also, I friggin' love college football overtime rules. They're stressful as hell. Like the prove it, it's just like shot for shot, basically. Yeah. We got to bring that to the NFL.
Yes.
Like, I would love to see college overtime rules for the pros.
I think that that's a good plan. The only other rule change that I have isn't actually directly to the game. It's to the announcers for football. Okay. I think that we should be able to keep score of all the double entendres that come up when they're announcing football. You know, wow, he really used that tight end like a wide receiver on that play. Like,
it was a tale of two halves. Yeah. Okay, I mean, as long as we're doing all these other unreasonable things, I think we should also do the reasonable things and change the overtime rules and have a 16-team playoff. And I think ratings are going to skyrocket. They always say they don't want to change anything because it's a ratings game and it's a cash cow and this money machine. Well, I think you're going to make a lot more money if they take our suggestions, Jason.
I agree. And you're going to need that money when we change the rules that allow student athletes to actually get paid.
Yeah. I think we're going to get to that episode eventually. Yeah, we're gonna do that one. All right, you got anything else on American football?
No, I think we're good there.
Okay, well, then let's get to basketball. And you and I have been watching a lot of basketball lately.
We have, shockingly, because it's a sport I actually don't follow very much at all.
So does this mean I have to start watching Formula One now since you're watching basketball with me?
Well, and it's kind of interesting. I think both sports are sort of the same, that you can just watch the last 5 minutes of the game and get everything that you need to.
Well, that's actually the first suggestion I have for the rule change in basketball. Let's speed up the end of the game. And I think one interesting way we could accomplish this is we need to allow teams to spend timeouts like currency. So spend your timeouts to cancel things that the other team does.
Oh, nice.
So imagine you get to the end of the game and it's the last 5 minutes, which is obviously going to be 25, 30 minutes long.
Right.
And the other team has a free throw. Spend a timeout. Cancel the free throw. They want a substitute. Spend your timeout. Sorry, can't bring that star player in off the bench.
I like
that. You could just spend your timeout to just negate anything your opponents do. So the game's going to speed way up because you're going to be saving your timeouts throughout the entirety of the game and then just canceling every delaying tactic.
Canceled.
Yeah, just canceling everything your opponent does. So I think that would fundamentally change basketball in a objectively positive way.
See, I agree with that. But again, going back to auto racing, there's a concept called a sprint race where rather than doing a full race, you race like a much shorter distance. And you can get two or three sprint races in the course of a day. So I think basketball, all games should be 5 minutes long. Play like three games in a night.
Like just gave everyone like 60 points.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
or you flip a coin, like off. One team gets 58, the other team gets 60, 5 minutes, you each are in the bonus.
You win 15 to 13. Like, I'm totally fine with this.
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, they do baseball doubleheaders. Well,
right.
We should be able to do this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm down with that. And then, you know, even if we had that brave new system, Jason, there'd still be overtime sometimes.
Yes.
But I don't think overtime should just be an additional 5 minutes that goes really slow because it's, again, the last 5 minutes of a game. I think overtime should be a game of horse. But I think you need to have horse, but it's still a team sport, right?
Right.
So you have like combo shots.
Right, right.
So like just the five players on your team come out and do some crazy elaborate like series of passes, flips, trick shots that ends in a bucket. And then the other team must match it.
I'll tell you, like I've watched basketball off and on for years and I've always found it a slightly duller sport than many of the other sports that I like to watch. But the best basketball is absolutely the Harlem Globetrotters.
Right.
So, yeah.
In this scenario, as long as they could end all regulation games in a tie, the Harlem Globetrotters would be unbeatable. They would be a dynasty in 3 years. It would take no time at all.
Oh, I totally agree. No, that's actually similar to a rule change that I wanted to have. And to me, you go into overtime, but it's a 1 minute overtime, but you can end up in multiple overtimes. But each overtime, you add another ball.
I feel like this is going to be a consistent theme.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just adding balls every time.
Yeah, it's very much the pinball rule.
Unless I spend my timeout to cancel your ball.
That's right.
When it comes in. Yeah, see? All right. I think that would fundamentally fix basketball. Yeah. There's a lot of things broken with it, and I think we fixed a lot of them right there.
You, and, of course, we were watching the game the other night. One of the fundamental issues with basketball is that the referees have an inordinate effect on games. Like, calling fouls is such an arbitrary, like, some refs call them one way, some refs call them a different way. So I think you just, you institute football rules, and everybody wears pads, and we get rid of fouls.
Or you have to do like the chess clocks.
Right.
Like each ref only has so many seconds to like make calls, review them, and make decisions throughout the game. And there's some like terrible consequence if your timer runs out before the end.
Yeah, and also I think you should trade out referees the same way that they trade out players. Like every time you shift, you have a shift change, you bring in different refs.
Yeah. Or how about this? You use your timeout to cancel a foul, so you get a bullshit call, or you just get a straight up like intentional technical, and just like timeout.
Or you can use three timeouts and cancel a ref.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're on to something here. Basketball, you're welcome. We've saved you. You got any others on basketball?
No, I'm good there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to lean on you a little bit on baseball, because baseball is not a sport I follow, because I am a fan of the only franchise in the MLB not to have won a World Series, the Seattle Mariners, who perpetually break my heart, have the record for most games won in a single season the year they lost in the first round of the playoffs. And so because the Mariners just rip my heart out year after year after year, I really only watch towards the end, where every year somehow they're like 1.5 games out, and I'll watch for like 2 weeks to see if they're going to catch up, and they never do.
Yeah, and see, I came to baseball fairly late in life. I was not a fan when I was a kid and became one as an adult, and then moved to Washington, D.C. and adopted the Nationals as my home team back when they sucked. And now they won a World Series, and that was tremendous amounts of fun to watch. So I've become a huge baseball fan.
Well, one of the things that, you know, even though I'm not a huge fan, that I'm aware of in baseball that makes it unique among the principal sports in the U.S., or I guess really the world, is that it doesn't have a salary cap.
Right.
So that means you can spend as much money as you want purchasing your players, which I think is crazy. So I looked this up. The Dodgers have the largest budget of any MLB team at $194 million.
Wow. And, I didn't realize they'd eclipsed the Yankees.
Yeah, $194. And the smallest franchise, who has to, you know, play the same amount of games and the same league, do all the same stuff, is the Cleveland Indians at $23 million.
Wow.
So
I would have guessed the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's interesting,
too. Over 8 times higher, which is nuts. So then I started to think, how can we fix this disparity? I mean, the NFL figures this out by like the worst team each year gets the draft first, and then that helps you balance things out because you bring talented players.
But there are also salary caps, and
there are salary caps. So it evens the playing field. We don't have that in baseball. So how could we create it? So I started thinking about this game, Pocatalk. That I learned about on a vacation I took a few years ago to Central America.
Congratulations, you've come up with a topic that I've never heard of this game.
You actually know about it, you just don't know the name. I guarantee you know about this. So Pocatalk is a game that was played by the ancient Maya, the Aztecs, and it's this game where you've seen like the old courts in the ruins where it has like the circle on two opposing walls.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's played with a rubber ball, and they run back and forth and try to basically.
Wasn't it originally played with like human heads?
I don't know about the human. I feel like that's true. I don't want to say definitively that's true and have to correct it in a word stupid, but I feel like that should be true. But you got to get the ball through the ring. But the thing that's interesting about Pocatalk is that the losing team was sacrificed. Like, this is how you determine who you're going to kill. Like, so you win the game, and then you get to like rip the beating heart out of your enemy and sacrifice it to the sun god to keep the star in the sky a little longer.
Let me tell
you,
if a ref makes a bad call in that game.
So what I'm thinking we could do here is bring Pocatalk style rules to baseball. Now, we can't bring it to every game because there's like 300 a season or something.
Right.
But you bring it just to the World Series. So,
or maybe like one game every 6 weeks, like Pocatalk night.
Bobblehead Pocatalk night. But I think if we did it just in the World Series, so every year you essentially wipe out the second best team, and it's going to create all kinds of opportunities for all these AAA players to come up, and it's going to kind of dilute the talent pool and eliminate the competitive advantage of these teams that are spending all this money to basically buy championships.
Yeah. And maybe we don't kill them, but they can never play professional baseball again.
Well, if we're not going to kill them, I think we should at least maim them in a way that guarantees they don't return. Like, I don't want to just do a ban, because then, you know, there's no guarantee that someone doesn't find a loophole and try to bring them back. So
that's a good point.
We at least like surgically remove their kneecaps or something. I don't know.
Wow, that's ruthless. I like it.
Can you one-up me on baseball, Jason? What do you think? How can we make baseball better?
The thing that's always driven me crazy about baseball is the difference between the American and the National League, where in one league, the pitchers actually have to hit, and in the other league, they don't. They're just pitchers.
That's so weird.
It's super bizarre.
So what happens if you get traded like from the National League to the American League?
It doesn't happen because basically, like, unless you are an amazing pitcher, if you can't hit, you're not going to the league where you have to hit. It's very, very strange. It's such an esoteric rule, and it's so strange the way that this all happens. But to me, rather than trying to decide, like, we'll just make all pitchers have to hit or we'll make all pitchers not have to hit, I think we should go in a completely opposite direction, which is if you're a pitcher and you strike out, the next inning, you have to replace one of your players on the field with another pitcher. So, like, if the pitcher keeps striking out, eventually you have pitchers in every role. Position.
Well, you could create parity, too. Like, I remember growing up when I was watching baseball more often that you have the designated hitter, right?
Right.
And it's always, like, the fat, slow guy on the team, right, but who can, like, really wail on it. So, in the league that doesn't have the pitcher rule, I think you should just change it so the designated hitter also has to be the shortstop.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that would balance it out. Yeah, the totally fattest, agree. Slowest guy has to play the most athletic position
on
the field.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that.
Okay, so now we fixed baseball too.
Yeah, we're on a run here, man.
Well, there's another sport, Jason, that I know that's near and dear to your heart, soccer.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts on what we could do to improve soccer? Because I have some doozies on soccer personally.
Yeah, I've got so many thoughts on this. So I played soccer for like 20 years. My younger brother played professional indoor soccer for close to 15 years. Yeah, this is a game that I know very, very well. The first thing is, particularly in international play and World Cup play, anyone who flops, anyone who claims that they've been hit when they clearly were not, you just shoot them on the field.
That's like legitimately a part of soccer, right?
Yes.
Like faking the injury or like exaggerating the contact.
And to me, like, the way that you solve this problem is if you fake an injury and it's caught, you actually have to sustain that injury. Somebody brings a hammer out and hits you in the knee. Like,
didn't like Pablo Escobar or some Colombian drug lord have like the Colombian goalie executed because he like blew a game or something?
Again, much like the thing you were talking about earlier, I don't know that that's true, but I want it to be true.
I want it to be true.
So what do you got for soccer?
So I've got a couple for soccer. One is, like I said, I don't watch soccer, but I love the video game FIFA.
Yeah.
And I don't know if...
you guys play Own Goal, though, which is a completely
that's
different...
That's exactly what I was about to do. So we basically have the game FIFA, and I wish I could pitch this to EA Sports so they could make it like a sub-mod or a mini-game within the game.
Yeah.
We got tired of playing FIFA normally, so we invented a game where you pretty much only play when you're drunk.
Yeah.
But I think we actually played it sober a few times because we got so into it. And it's actually way more competitive than playing normal soccer. And it's called Own Goal. And the way you play Own Goal is you get 1 point for every goal you score on yourself.
Yeah.
And you get 2 points for every red card you get.
That's right.
And those are the only rules. And we play intense, crazy FIFA matches of Own Goal. And there is a whole skill set. It's actually harder than you think to score on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, the AI is pretty solid.
Well, yeah, especially if you're playing defense and you're trying to defend your opponent's goal, it's really difficult.
It is amazing. So I encourage anyone out there that has FIFA, get some friends together. And look, it's not complicated. There are only two rules. Like I said, 1 point for every goal you score on yourself and 2 points for every red card. And that's it. The only thing that's annoying about it is EA hasn't accepted it yet. So you got to keep score yourself because the score that's on the scoreboard.
It makes no sense.
It makes absolutely no sense. So Own Goal is probably like my OG journey into this concept of changing sports rules. And it really did redefine me as a person.
Yeah. Oh, I've watched you guys play this 1,000 times and it's really entertaining, particularly if you're well into the evening and drinking a lot. Yeah.
So shout out to the Own Goal squad. I'll make sure I tag all you guys in this episode because it is possibly one of humanity's greatest inventions. the other one I had for soccer was on penalty kicks.
Yes.
So you had this idea of adding extra balls into all these sports.
Yeah.
I want to do that too, but I want to make the balls different, Jason. So if you got to say you're down, like it's the end of the game and you're down 1-3 and you know this penalty kick isn't going to matter anyway.
Yeah.
You should be able to have the option to, like, I don't know, change the molecular makeup of your ball. Like, maybe you kick a lead ball instead and it's worth 2 points if it goes in. And I think when we were joking about this earlier, you had the suggestion of, What about a helium ball? That's right. easily worth
what
five
if it's
goals.
A balloon? Yeah.
It's easily worth five goals, right? So I think when you
get that into the net.
Yeah. I think when you go to take your penalty kick, it's kind of like daily double.
Right.
Like you decide what you're going to wager, right? Like I'll take a ball made of solid iron, but right. It's worth four goals if it goes right. in. And then you have to be carted off the field. So I think that could really mix it up in soccer a little bit.
I like that idea.
Make the games way more interesting.
But you could also just use balls from other sports. Like at a certain point, like you get 10 minutes into the game and you switch from a soccer ball to a football. And then after that, you go to a rugby ball. And by the end of the game, you're playing with a golf ball. Right. Yeah.
but you kick a tennis ball and it's only worth half a goal.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You're like, it's really, because soccer has that weird thing, right, where it's not just about the games you win, but the goals you score.
Yeah.
So you look at it and you're like, oh, I only really need to be like 0.01 goals up, right, to make sure I get to the championship. So
yeah, exactly. So if I put a ping pong ball into the goal, right. Yeah,
I'm going to get a slingshot and shoot a pebble at the goalie and it's worth 0.01 goals or something. You know what I mean? So, I think that could change soccer.
Soccer's a very European sport, so it should be the metric system. Right?
What else you got on soccer, Jason?
Well, actually, it occurred to me I do have a go back for baseball that I totally forgot.
Okay, yeah. Well, much like all the professional sports leagues we're designing right now,
yeah.
There are no real rules here,
that's
Jason.
Right. That's
just
right.
Go back and do what you want to do.
Yeah. So the one that I had for baseball that I forgot to mention is as a batter, if you get hit by a pitch, you get to carry the bat with you around the bases.
And you can just use it however
yeah,
you need
exactly.
to use it. Like instead of sliding in, you charge in, sliding into second. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, you got anything else on soccer?
So for soccer, the whole offsides rule, I find it's very difficult for people who've never played soccer to understand. So again, you know, much like I think that the penalty for offsides should just be so extreme that no team will ever do it again. So like not like if you're offsides, like you and three other members get red carded. Like if you're offsides, then you have to like fight the bull. Like they give you a red cape and they let a bull out on the.
You know, it's funny though with the offsides rule. That's what leads to, because there's so many offsides in soccer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So that's what leads to all the stoppage time at the end, where you have like some unknown, obscure amount of time that gets added on to the 90 minutes that's
yeah,
tacked on.
It's offsides and injury, like fake injuries.
Right.
Yeah. So
if we can eliminate those two things with your rule, I think then what we should do is in order to, you know, condense soccer down to a reasonable amount of time, much like we're trying to do with basketball, we should just have a finite amount of oxygen that's available at the end of the game. Like, look, guys, there's 2 minutes of oxygen in this tank and you're all putting these masks on at the end of the game. You better not waste more than 2 minutes, because if you take your mask off before the end of the game, your team forfeits.
I like that one. That's good. Yeah.
So we're creating room for all this other educational programming with all the airwave space that'll now be available on European television. Think about all the, we can educate the next generation because we'll condense the length of soccer games.
My favorite part about this entire episode so far, you and I have never, this is the 35th episode that we've done of this idiot podcast. We have never agreed on every topic before.
I think we pretty much agree on everything else here, on all of these.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what I got, Jason. I mean,
no, I would happily continue to talk about this stuff because I'm sure I can come up with more off the top of my head, but that's all I got too.
Let's, okay. How about this? I'm going to throw one out that neither of us have thought about and
okay.
Let's see what we can come up with. What about, okay. First, stupid or not stupid? This
yeah.
is a sport.
Okay.
Luge. Is that luge or is it, curling? I'm sorry, curling.
Curling.
Luge
okay.
is the one where you ride like the sled
yeah.
by yourself. But no, curling. Is curling, like if you can do it while you're holding a beer,
right.
is it a sport? Like, is curling a sport?
After that whole diatribe that I had about golf at the beginning of this, I can't legitimately, like, I love watching curling when I'm drunk and lonely at night. It's not a sport.
But isn't it crazy?
It's a cleaning exercise.
Didn't they take, like, women's softball out of the Olympics, but, like, left curling and
yeah.
trampoline in?
Yeah.
Like, that's, and also, like, imagine, like, one, you make it to the Olympics and you make it for curling, but then you're not even the guy who throws the stone. You're like the sweeper guy.
Right.
Like, is there any lower form of Olympic athlete? Like, you know, those guys eat by themselves, like at the cafeteria table
right,
at the Olympic
right.
complex.
Yeah. And yet, like, roller derby is not a sport. Like, how does that, like, those women are badass, and these guys are fat, dumpy guys. Like, they're basically cleaning off their driveway. Like, this is not a sport.
what would make curling a sport? Like, I think for me, instead of, you know, starting out with your cool little ice shoes, like, on a platform back at one end when you curl it, I think what should have to happen is a puck? What do you curl?
A stone, a puck? A stone, I think, yeah.
If you don't get it inside the circle that you're aiming for, when it gets in that circle, let's say it closes a circuit that stops a trap door from opening underneath of you, and you just drop down to the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with the whole thing. You were like, how do we make this more interesting? It's like, it's very simple, two words, thinner ice.
Yeah, instead of taking your time and planning it out, it's just like a clock's running until the ice melts, and it's just how many stones can you get in the circle before you fall through.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a good one. And what's one more? Isn't darts in the Olympics? Am I imagining that?
That's the thing, like, darts shouldn't be in the Olympics, but if it is, then axe throwing should also be in the Olympics.
Yes. Yes. and we can throw the axes at the runners up of the World Series the year before.
Again, much like I said with golf, you should have somebody that defends the target.
I remember when I was in Iceland, there was like a whole darts channel. Like, Iceland takes darts very, very seriously. And I thought, like, this is kind of weird. And then I stayed up all night watching it.
Right. Yeah. Iceland and the Irish take darts pretty seriously, too. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're all, like, there's some common ancestor in there. They're all related. All right. Jason, you got any other sports you think we need to examine and fix?
Yes, I do. Bicycling.
Isn't that just running, but with help?
Right. So that's the thing. Like, I don't intrinsically have a problem with bicycling. I just have a problem with bicyclers.
Stupid or not stupid, bicyclists.
Right. Yeah. Man, anyone who would actually wear those clothes in all seriousness.
Well, you know who else wears the clothes? I guess this makes them more stupid than bicyclists. And bicyclists are actually a contentious political issue, so I'm not going to touch this one. But speedwalkers. Ever seen those guys with the curled helmets and the spandex who are like...
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I have no problem. Like, as somebody who is very, very invested in cars and motorsports, like, I don't have a problem with bicycling as a mode of transportation, as an activity, as a sport. I think it's healthy. It's great. I totally get all of that.
But it should have a motor on it.
Well, again, yeah, it's like rowing. Rowing is something that you do when the motor breaks. It's not. This is not a sport, right? Like, it's an activity to save your ass. It's not. It's not something you should be doing for fun. Bicycling. Man, just the arrogance of bicyclists and, like, the idea, make way for me, I'm on a bike. Like, go screw yourself, man. Look at the clothes you're wearing. Look at how seriously you're taking yourself. Get out of your own head. I have no use for this.
Have you ever been in a car on a long drive with a bicyclist?
No, thank God.
Yeah, all they do is talk to you about bicycling.
I would literally jump out of the car. Like, if I were driving, I would bail out at 55 miles an hour. Yeah.
All right. This is the last one I'm going to throw to you. And I don't want to criticize this one, actually. I'm all in on this being a sport. And the only reason I'm bringing this one up is because, as all of our listeners know, Jason does custom intro music for every episode. And I really want the music for this episode to be the song from Cool Runnings. So, Jason, bobsledding, what are your thoughts? Just so I can get the song in.
So, and it's funny because you were asking about luge earlier, and there's another. So, luge is sledding feet first. Then there's skeleton, which is sledding head first.
What? There's luge head first?
Yes. Yeah. And it's awesome.
So, is that like some Norwegian, like, word that are diatribes of each other, like luge and skeleton, or is just like skeletoning because you're a skeleton when you get to, like, if you fuck up, you're dead.
I genuinely don't know what the origin is, but I know that it's an actual sport.
That's so cool.
It's super cool. Bobsledding is like that, but adding a giant sled that makes no sense to the equation. It just, like, it's upping the risk factor. So I totally a sport, totally something that I watch every Olympics. Like, I don't have much use for many Olympic sports. I am riveted when it comes to the sledding.
All of my knowledge of bobsledding comes from the seminal movie, Cool Runnings. but just thinking about it, so there's one guy in the front who drives, one guy in the back, Sonka, Yeah. A brake man.
Yeah.
But the other two dudes are what? Just mass?
Their weight.
Yeah. They just like lean at corners and like that's all they're there to do is to sit and lean.
Yeah.
Like in my mind, I have this concept of like to be an Olympic athlete, like your parents basically have to decide for you.
Right.
To like start training you and like developing the requisite skill sets and like specializing you from like basically birth.
Right.
Who are the parents out there? And please, you know, write in and tell us because I want to be friends with you. Who are the parents who like look at their progeny and say, you shall bobsled, shall be a third seater and lean to the left on turn five.
And that's like you can hear the announcers are like, "Wow, he really let himself go in the off season. That extra weight's going to help him here." Like,
yeah, that's the thing. So, like, he should play luge in the off season so he can drink beer and train, and then bobsled when the Olympics come around.
Yeah,
because you know those are the you know those guys are like the hotshot celebrities at the bar in the Olympic Village. Like,
oh yeah,
every girl's trying to hang out with the bobsledders.
Oh yeah, because they're just party machines. Yeah, they're not spending any time in the workout room. They're not like they're not in the hot tub afterwards. Like they're
you're trying to front load the weight. In the in the front of the sled,
ice in their knees. Like.
Oh man! Okay, Jason, this has been a good one, man.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to this one for a while.
you got any more on revolutionizing the sports world? Okay, I really hope our mics are picking that up. Literally, every time I ask Jason a question, I get an ESPN notification. It's like, da-da-dun, da-da-dun.
it's the football notification. That's awesome.
I think that what's actually happening there is that's a warning from Roger Goodell that he's going to cancel us.
That's right.
If we don't cut it out.
Canceled!
Yeah, Roger's listening, so...
the only other stuff that I would try to fix would, we alluded to the idea that college athletes are not paid, whereas their coaches are being paid multi-million dollars and schools are making insane amounts of money. But I think that's actually a topic for a different episode.
Okay. So since you brought a sober and serious note to the episode, I'll say this. We'll just commit. Let's go out and find a college athlete. We'll have a guest on and we'll solve that problem once for all. And then we'll let Goodell and ESPN and the entire U.S. sports infrastructure that we're about to turn on its head know that we're coming for them.
That's right.
I'm down with that. All right. Well, just make sure then that you get out, subscribe, share all this stuff before Goodell geosynchronizes our location and shuts the whole podcast down.
Exactly. SEAL Team 6 comes in and takes us out. Yeah.
All right. Until next time.
Yeah, man.